Yes, I'd like to wish everyone a beautiful Shabbos and a beautiful Shavuos. So I'm going to first tell you the words on Bamidbar, and then we'll go to Yontif Shavuos. So first of all, it says Midbar Sina. Oh, well, that's actually a word. I'm sorry about it, yeah. So, Moshe Shore from Lake, who said, at the age of 20, that's when everyone was counted to go to the army. Koyotzei Tzava. So Moshe Shore said a beautiful word. He said, when you're 20 years old, that's when Hashem starts judging you, whether you did a mitzvah or a veiwas. So then, since you're going to be chayiv, you know, now in mitzvahs and a veiwas, the yitzahava, the evil inclination, is out to fight you. That's why we start to say Koyotzei Tzava. You have to start getting yourself strong. You're entering into the army of Hashem. You got to be ready to fight the yitzahava. You should be running to do the mitzvah, running away from a veiwas. Well, Moshe Feinstein says a beautiful word. He says, if you notice, in Bamidbar we count every Jew individually. Then we count them as, we combine them as a shaver, count how many in the shaver, and then we count how much is in one camp. You know, how many in one camp is near them. You know, the Shvatim, the tribes are broken up into camps. So how many Jews are in one camp there? You know, each camp was counted as a whole. So not all the whole Jewish people together, but each camp was counted. That might be 3 to 4 Shvatim in one camp. So Moshe Feinstein Zasal said, why you count an individual, then count it as, you know, as a shevet, and then as a camp? So Moshe Feinstein Zasal said, because when you have a responsibility when you're home alone, by yourself, when you're at work, when you're driving the car, when you're, like, going to 7-Eleven, it's only Hashem and you. When you're alone, it's only you serving Hashem, as Hashem with you, meaning you have to serve Hashem when you're alone, when you're home in the house or in the car, when you walk in the streets. But you also have to help the Jewish community. You can say, okay, I'm only help out my tribe, my shevet. I only help out the community I live in, like Bow Park, Flatbush, Hillcrest, Kugan Hills, Teaneck, you know, Lakewood, Muncie. You know, I only help out the Passaic, five towns. I only help out the community I live in. I want to help the Jewish community as a whole, B'nai Yisrael as a whole. So when Moshe finds this out, that's where they count it as one shevet, and also as many shvatim together, to teach them, yes, you have to help out your community you live in, but you also have to help out the Jewish people as a whole. And you can't say, I'm going to help B'nai Yisrael, the Jewish people as a whole, but not help my community. No, you have to help both of them at the same time. Then when Moshe Feinstein said, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu Levim came up with the reason why the Levim should not be counted with the rest of B'nai Yisrael, with the rest of the Jewish people. Then Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, don't count the Levim with the rest of B'nai Yisrael, with the rest of the Jewish people. And the Chumash says, because Hashem told Moshe not to count the Levim with the rest of B'nai Yisrael, that's why the Levim were not counted with the rest of the Jewish people. So Moshe Feinstein Zasal says, you see in the beginning, he says, Moshe and Levim came up with the reason why Levim should not be counted with B'nai Yisrael. And then Hashem told Moshe, don't count Levim with the rest of B'nai Yisrael. And we follow because Hashem told Moshe, that's why we don't count the Levim with B'nai Yisrael. Zucker Moshe Feinstein, you can come up with the best reasoning, the best follower. You come up with the best reasoning why you should do something or not do something. But then there, you do it because Hashem told you. You don't do it, oh, because this reasoning makes a lot of sense. No. If Hashem told you to do the mitzvah, Hashem told you to stay far away from the veiwa, and you have a reason for it, you came up with a good reason not to follow, but you, because Hashem told you, that's the only reason you're going to do it or not do it. Then the Sifte Cohen, we think it's the Shach, the beautiful word. He says that by all the shvatim, it says chonim alav. Like, you know, one of the top shvatim in the camp was on top of the other shvatim. By Ephraim and Menashe, it says Ephraim alav Menashe. Right? So what's pshat? Because really, Ephraim was younger than Menashe. Menashe was the older one, so Menashe should have gone first. But for whatever reason, Ephraim went first. But Ephraim felt that they wanted to make Menashe feel good. He didn't want, you know, therefore, he made it as if Menashe is on top of him. He made it as if the older brother is on top of him. Then by Baruch Newman, he's a rabbi, young Israel, Spring Valley, said a beautiful word also. He said, by all the Shvatim, says the word Ul, you know, Vav, like Vav Chibor, connecting everyone. But Yisachar and Zvulun do not have that. Yisachar and Zvulun, says Yisachar, and they said the Vnei Zvulun. I would say Uvnei Zvulun. Or shaven, but new zvulin. So the word by Bach Numa to teach us that Yisachar and Zvulin are really one. They're united. Zvulin, remember, was supporting Yisachar to learn Torah, to steig in Torah. So Zvulin got reward for that, got tzchar for that. Therefore, they were one. Yisachar and Zvulun were one. They didn't need to be connected. It was Yisachar, Lemate, Zvulun. They were really one tribe, kind of. They were united. Then it says, you know, it says, Elitos Moshe ve'Awan b'chor, and then lists Awan's sons. And Rashi says the reason we mention Moshe, even though we're only talking about Awan's family, to teach us that, before we go into Avot, I think it's the Bala Turim points out why this says b'chor, and this says not of an Aviyu, Elazar Itamar, but b'chor, there's a dash, and it goes not of. So why is the dash there? So the Walag said, Avot, he says, really what the Torah is saying, Ela Moshe, Awan b'chor. Really, Awan was the firstborn. But Awan, you see the greatness of Awan, how big a tzaddik he was, how incredible of a yid he was. He put himself second behind Moshe Rabbeinu. He always let Moshe outshine him, because Awan knew that was meant. That's the best for Klai Yisrael. That's the best for the Jewish people. Therefore, Awan put himself second to Moshe. That's why Ela Moshe, but Awan b'chor. Really, Awan was the first one. The Maharal Mipraq said a beautiful word. Rashi points out, why is Moshe mentioned here? Because Moshe Rabbeinu taught Awan's children, therefore it's considered that Moshe was their father also. So the Maharal Mipraq gets a great question. The Maharal says, Moshe Rabbeinu taught all Bnei Israel. He taught all the Yidden. He taught all the Jewish people. Why is Moshe not considered the father of every Jew? Why particularly only here? So Maharal said a beautiful word. He said, to Moshe to teach Klai Yisrael, to teach Bnei Yisrael, that was his job. His job was to teach the Torah to the Jewish people as a whole. But here Moshe spent extra time on Awan and Awan's sons to teach him the Torah. He went out of his way. He did more than he needed to. And that's why Awan's children is considered Moshe Rabbeinu's children. The Or Chaim HaKadosh said another beautiful word. He said, whatever reason, I don't know what it means, but Awan's participation, the Egel Hazav, I don't know, whatever he did, but Hashem said, I'm going to destroy Awan and his family, I think, or I'm going to destroy Awan. Therefore, Awan and his sons will be killed. There will be no Awan, there will be no sons. Moshe Rabbeinu davened hard. He davened and pleaded and begged Hashem, please save Awan and his family. And because Moshe Rabbeinu davened hard to Hashem, that's why Awan and his sons were saved. Therefore, it's as if Moshe Rabbeinu is the father of Awan and his sons. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu is considered, his name's here. The Meshech Chachma points out another beautiful word. The Meshech, at the end of the parsha, you hear the Gershon and Kahas and Marwah recounting how they carried, you know, the different items for the Mishkan. I have one more word after it was on Bimidbar, and it says by Kahas it's used the word Malacha, by Gershon Marwah it used the word Avoda. So why by Kahas is Malacha, and by Gershon and Merari is used the word Avoda. So the Meshech Chachma said a beautiful word. Because Kahas were actually counting, you know, what they were the items they were carrying were precious. I think it was Aron HaKodesh, and maybe items for the Kodesh Kodashim. Therefore, they carried themselves physically. So if they would have done this on Shabbos, they were over the Issa of carrying, if there's no Eivav. There's no Eivav, they'd be over Issa Hutzah. Gershon and Merari put the utensils for the Mishkan into a horse and buggy, whatever you want to call it, you know, into a trailer, whatever you want to call it, like a cart that was being pulled by animals. Therefore, they went over the Issa Derisa as much as Kahas was. Therefore, that's why Bekahas says Malacha, and by Gershon and Merari says Avoda. Well, by Elezer Ginsburg, he's a Rebbe in Yeshiva Meir in Brooklyn. He said, why now are we setting up the different camps of the Shvatim together with their flags? Why don't we do it when the Bnei Yisrael first left Egypt, when they first left Mitzrayim, why don't we set the Jewish people then like this? So Elazar Ginsburg said, if we would have set this up when the Bnei Yisrael, when the Yidden first left Mitzrayim, they would have set up the Yidden this way. Therefore, the Yidden would not have been united because you'd have like 3-4 Shvatim together. But they wouldn't have anything to do with other Shvatim. And therefore, you might cause them, in fact, not to have unity with the rest of the Yidden. But now that the Mishkan was built, the Mishkan unites all of them. Because they surround the Mishkan, and we tell them all of Bnei Yisrael, the mission is just to serve Hashem as one people, as Am Echad, as one big family. And since the Mishkan unites them, that's how they keep the unity among them. I'm going to now tell you what's on Shavuos. Oh, first, I'm sorry. Let me just tell you the names. Are down for the cholim, please. Please down for the vorts. Baruch Tzvi ben Rivka Batya. Baruch Tzvi ben Rivka Batya. Can really daven hard for him. He's very sick. Netanel Ilan ben Shena Tzipoa. He's an Israeli soldier. Was shot. Is unconscious. Yekutiel Zamin ben Sarah. Yehuda ben Shifa. Yehuda ben Shifa. Binyamin Ovadia ben Esther. Shemayahu Yosef Nisim ben Batya. Shemayahu Yosef Nisim ben Batya. Matisyahu Chaim ben Ittel. Matisyahu Chaim ben Ittel. Moshe Dov ben Feger Bracha. Moshe Dov ben Feger Bracha. Rachel Bas Ilana. Carmen ben Chaya Blima. Moshe Avraham ben Alexandria Simon. Shlomo ben Sawa Aliza. Shlomo ben Sawa Aliza. Baruch Bendo Bennett ben Sivol. And Shlomo ben Sawa Aliza. Avraham Yeshayahu ben Aviva. Avraham Yeshayahu ben Aviva. Leah Pesha Bas Dina. Leah Pesha Bas Dina. Chaya Malka Bat Batsheva. Chaya Malka Bat Batsheva. If you can please daven for all those cholim, you know, some of them are very sick. I know we give them week after week, but some of them are, you know, fighting for their lives. Especially Baruch Tzvi ben Rivka Batya, I tell you, Netana Ilan ben Shen Tzipoa, and Bo Chaya Malka Bat Batsheva is a like a 20-year-old, 1-year-old woman who's unconscious for many years. So it says the Torah was given in Midbar Sinai. So Rabbi Elazar Ginsburg, again from Yeshiva Meir in Brooklyn, said, why was the Torah given in the Midbar? Because when you learn Torah, you should put yourself in the midbar. You should have no distractions. You should have no distractions. Nothing should be bothering you. You should just be focusing on the Torah. The Sfas Emes gave a different report. The Sfas Emes said, you know, when you learn Torah, you can turn a barren land, you can turn anything around you into Kedusha, into holiness. Well, a fine waxman said, a beautiful boy, you know, Hashem's, you know, they were standing at Har Sinai, and Hashem put the mountain over them by like a bowl. Hashem said, if you don't take the Torah, you're going to die there. So a fine waxman said, why mean you're going to die there? Why not in the Midbar? So a fine waxman said, in the Midbar, the Jewish people, Bnei Yisrael had the man, had the clouds of glory on air covered, the well of Miriam, Bear Miriam. And when Moshe finds his atzal, said, if you notice the Midbar, we don't hear anything about the clothing of Bnei Yisrael. Zaka Moshe Feinstein Atzal, because every day, every year's clothes, every Jew's clothes was clean, laundered as brand new. But a fine waxman said, but when you go into Eretz Yisrael, you're not going to have any of these things. You're going to have to wash your clothing. You're going to have to grow your food. You're going to have to sell your food. You're going to face challenges. The only way to make it through challenges is through Torah. Through living Torah, learning Torah, that's the only way you can make it through challenges. Rabbi Yudin, he's a rabbi from Fairlawn, New Jersey, said different vote. He said, in the Midbar, you can survive because there weren't many different other cultures in the desert. But when we get to Eretz Yisrael, there's many other different nations. And if you don't have a Torah uniting you, making you unique, you're going to assimilate. Well, Moshe Shor said, no, Vajim, you're going to die there. Let's say you're about to learn Torah, and then you see a newspaper article, and you say, let me give me 5 minutes, and you do the newspaper. Before you're doing 10 articles in the newspaper. He goes, oh, okay, I'll learn it an hour from now. Zakma Moshe Shor, if you're going to say you're going to learn then, later, Sham, you're going to learn later, you're going to end up dying. Meaning, your soul, your neshama is not going to get any ruchnias, not going to get any mitzvahs. Then when Moshe Shor said, you know, he put the bowel over us, like, you know, and what's it, when the bowel's over your head, it's dark and bleak. Well, Hashem is telling the Jewish people, if you don't live a Todic life, your life is going to be dark and bleak. You're not going to have any meaning, any purpose in your life. Then, the Kutzker Rebbe said, you know, we call it Man Matan Torah Tenu, the day we got the Torah. Why don't we say the day we accepted the Torah? It's like the Kutzker Rebbe, because accepting the Torah depends on you. Hashem gave, Kaddish Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. It's up to you how you accept it. The Chidush HaYomim said a different word. Every day we're accepting the Torah. On Shavuos, yes, we got the Torah. But every day we accept the Torah. That's why it's not the yontif of giving, accepting the Kabbalah's the Torah, because every day we accept it. The Walag said different way. Why is it called Shavuos? Because it takes weeks and weeks of one's life just to conquer and live Torah. It takes weeks. It doesn't come overnight. And the reason called Man Matan Torah Tenu, Zakta Walag, Because Hashem gave us the Torah. Hashem is telling us, now the Torah is in your hand. Lo b'shemayimi. It's no longer in my hand. You guys have to paskin the halacha. You got to live the way of Torah the way you feel is right. Rav Elia Lopian said, other yontes in the machloket, where it's half for us and half for Hashem. But on Shavuos, it said we definitely paskin the half of the Shavuos, half is for us, meaning we can eat, drink, and all that. So Rav Elia Lopian said, why in Shavuos we paskin like that? Because to teach us, because the only way, the way to really keep the Torah in your life is how you live it, how you eat, how you drink, how you get dressed in the morning, how you walk, how you talk. That's why it's chatzi lachem, because it's how you live and live the Torah. How you live in your daily life, the Torah. That's the only way you're going to see if you live a Todic life. The Rav Shlomo Kluger said that, we rested in the Midbar Sinai, and then said we left with freedom to go Midbar Sinai. So Rav Shlomo Kluger asked a question, why does that have to repeat? You just said we were Midbar Sinai. So why said we were Midbar Sinai, and then we left with freedom to go back to Midbar Sinai? So Shlomo Kluger said, what the Torah was stressing, with freedom, unfortunately, we left the Torah, and then we came to Har Sinai. So Rav Shlomo Kluger said, the word is, by refeeding, we left the Torah, but we did tshuva. Now that we did tshuva, we realize we can reach that incredible level of learning and living Torah once we did tshuva, to realize how powerful tshuva is. The Ochaim HaKadosh, another beautiful word. It said when we left Mitzrayim, we had to go through the desert to purify ourselves from the shmutz, from the tumah that was in Mitzrayim. And after we did that, Hashem gave us the Torah HaKadosh. So Chaim HaKadosh said, why didn't Hashem just put us by the Har Sinai, and we'll stay there for 49 days, whatever time, and we'll clean ourselves off, and then Hashem will give us the Torah. Zakto Chaim HaKadosh, Hashem loved Bnei Yisrael, He loves the Jewish people, He loves the Yidden so much, that if we would have been at the Har Sinai for 49 days, He would have given us the Torah, He would have given us the Torah HaKadosh right away. He wouldn't wait until we purify ourselves. That's why Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, cannot bring us to Har Sinai right away after we left Mitzrayim. Because Hashem would give us the Torah right away, even if we were not pure. The Walag said, why was the Torah given to Har Sinai? I know everyone says, it's a small mountain, I agree, to teach us that you have to be humble to go on Torah. But the Walag said another vort. He said, the pshat is that we have to realize, yes, the Torah is vast and enormous, but everyone can conquer the Torah. Everyone could climb up that mountain, the Torah. If the Torah was given like a Mount Everest, it'd be symbolic of telling us you can never conquer the Torahic life. There's no way. But by the mountain being small, Hashem is telling us every Jew can conquer the Torah. Every Jew can get Torah in their lives. You can climb the mountain of Torah. It's up to you whether you want to do it or not. I'm going to tell you two halachas. Again, ask your local Orthodox rabbis. These are halachas just discussed at the Shabbos table. Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal said, let's say a woman made Shechianu on the candles she lit for Shavuos. Zok Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal, then she should not say Amen to the Shechianu that her husband makes after Kiddush. If she made Shechianu and lighting the candles, she should not answer Amen to Shechianu her husband makes after Kiddush. Rav Nevinsal, who lives in Yerushalayim, Eir Kodesh, he said differently. He said the woman should not make, she should not make Shechianu on the lighting of candles, but rather be Yotzi with her husband, who makes Shechianu after Kiddush. Well, Yaakov Zev Smith, who lives in Brooklyn, he said, let's say whatever reason you made a bus of a chalav, you made meat and milk together, whatever reason, whether you cooked it by accident, flesh you brought it in milk, whatever the reason, now you have to get rid of it. But Yaakov Zev Smith said you cannot give it to stray animals, because you might get enjoyment seeing an animal eating it. You cannot even give it to stray animals that you have nothing to do. That might be enjoyment. And you cannot get enjoyment. You cannot get hana'ah from basav v'chalav. Then Rav Yaakov Zev Smith said, let's say you're at work and your non-Jewish worker, asked you, listen, I just made myself a meat and milk sandwich. Can you please put it into the oven for me, in the microwave for you? And it was never cooked before. You cannot put it into the oven because you're getting some enjoyment. First of all, you're cooking basav v'chalav. And you also might get a little enjoyment that you're helping your coworker out. You cannot put it into the microwave for him. But if he cooked it already, he already cooked it, and he's asking you just to warm it up, but Yaakov Zev Smith said, that's mutter. It's permitted to warm it up again if it's already cooked. If basav chalav was already cooked, you can rewarm it. Again, ask your local Orthodox rabbis. These are halachas just discussed at the Shabbos and Yontif tables. I'd like to wish everyone a beautiful Shabbos and a beautiful Shavuos. And you should all realize the power of Torah. How much Torah is needed in a Jew. It's a Jew's blood. Have a Gevaldik Shabbos and a B'chag Sameach. Bye-bye.